And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show at 203-333-9422. Yesterday, a story got picked up. I saw it first in the Westport Patch and then like wildfire, NBC Connecticut. And this morning, somebody sent it to me that it was in the New York Post. And the story is simply this, that Westport, apparently one of the first, if not the first town in our region, to be using a drone technology in order to collect data, in order to give the police and the first selectmen information that they need in order to enforce social distancing restrictions in light of this COVID-19 situation. There are people that are alarmed by this. There are people that are encouraged by this. I would say there is a gamut of reactions. And joining us now to talk about why this technology was begun and what are the facets of it that we need to be aware of is Westport's own police chief, Fody Kaskinas. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Fody. Can I just continue to call you Fody? Welcome to the show today. Hi.
Good morning, Lisa. Fody's fine. Thank you for having me. Mr. Marpy would have joined us also. He's on another meeting. There's a lot going on with the tax abatement and meetings tonight, as you can imagine. I certainly will be speaking for me and the police department, but a lot of these are conversations that from the inception of this we've had with Mr. Marpy. This was not a single decision or an easy one. But thank you for having me, and I hope I can have some insight and help people understand and continue to have the trust of our community as in years past as we're moving forward on this.
So tell us a little bit about it. I understand it's something called Dragonfly from Canada and that we are a pilot. What does it mean for Westport to be a pilot?
Yeah, Lisa, there's two parts to this. As you can imagine, we've been sort of tackling one challenge after another, and I don't want to by any means slow down the conversation on the drone, but we all know that if we were to look back to January, if we knew what we know now, we would have done things very different. One of our biggest challenges moving forward is, you know, hearing everything from the CDC that we're getting updates daily that, you know, we're looking at a reoccurrence this summer. And the latest is we're looking at more or a higher death rate going into the flu season this winter with the flu and the possibility of COVID getting to us at the same time. Mr. Marpy and I have had some incredible challenges of what we can do different, how can we can keep our community safe, and what tools at our disposal. So we were approached by two Westport residents that had access to this Dragonfly technology. They know that we were very public. We've had a drone program since 2016. We currently use the drones, everything from structure fires to officer backup to surveys for land, surveys for traffic, surveys at our school properties, our parks and rec. So the drones are currently being used. This is not new technology that we introduced. As far as the Dragonfly, there's two parts of it. There is the proven on social distancing. We know, as our governor is saying, we're going to go into reentry extremely slow, and there's going to be strict monitoring. I do not have the resources to keep people social distancing as we go into whatever the new normal is or whatever reentry is or wherever we go backwards if we see a spike in our numbers. So we were looking at alternative ways to be able to use our current resources, use them wisely, expose our officers to less people that may be exposed to or be carrying the virus. And at the same time, there's always the chance that one of our officers carrying it doesn't know it and exposes the public to it. So if we're looking for ways to do things a little differently, and it was a difficult decision. I feel a lot of the questions that our public and our community has, I'm very sensitive to that, and I hope they know that from the years past of how this department has performed. The last thing I want to do, and I feel some people may feel that way, is let our residents down. Our successes are based on the relationships we've had with our residents, and I would certainly hope that would be the case move forward. There's absolutely no ill intentions to this, and I understand the concerns.
So let's talk about the data that's being collected and the idea that people – so let's just back up a little bit. We're chatting with Fody, who is the police chief in Westport. You know, there's this idea that Governor Lamont has been very encouraging of people to keep 6 feet apart, that some towns have taken a stance of a $92 trespass fine if you go on fields. But it's been the kind of approach coming from information to encourage people to do it versus sort of a police state where people are ticketed if they're walking too closely to someone. One of the fears that's been expressed to me, Fody, about this drone is that the looking out of overhead, first of all, it feels because it is an impersonal technique, but more importantly, that, you know, that people still want the right to be able to associate with people that they believe are not sick, close family members that they've been quarantining with. In other words, how this, it just seems to take this to a new level of enforcement of what has been encouraged as social distancing.
Right. And this, Lisa, this is just one more level of encouragement. There's if people follow the rules and we continue to do as well as we are as a community, there isn't going to be enforcement. Nobody is looking. There has not been a single ticket other than parking tickets that have been issued during this pandemic regarding to social distancing or not using fields or using fields that are closed. We've been working through this with encouragement. What I'm saying is, as we go back into reentry, and we're seeing it in every other community that has attempted reentry, it happens so fast rather than slow because everybody's so eager to get out and they see that things might be safe or things might be safer. This was just one way when Mr. Amarpi and I sat down and we discussed this. We looked at it from a management perspective. If there are tools out there that if things get really bad here and we're not going to at least give them a chance to use them, we thought that that would be irresponsible. You know, I'm hearing things describing Mr. Amarpi as dictatorship and things like that. And there is a person that really has the best of our community in his mind of how we can move forward. And I'm not defending that. I mean, he's solely my only boss other than our legislative bodies, but who I report to. And that's not the intention. I mean, when we sit down and make these decisions, the easy thing is for him and I not to do any of this. Sitting idle behind our desks and not taking any of this on is the real easy solution to this. We realize and we expected that there would be conflict, but the reality of it is people have to realize when we're talking contact tracing and people are going to be able to tell by your phone and you'll be notified that you are near somebody or you may have been exposed, that is extremely intrusive. When you put something on Facebook and you meet a new friend and 10 minutes later it tells you who else you may know, all these things are happening around us every single day. We That's are true. Only trying to apply it to public health during a pandemic when we're quickly running out of tools. We're looking at ways how we can prepare ourselves better if this gets worse rather than gets better. There's no such thing as a perfect world. Mark Mathias corrected me during a Board of Ed meeting one time because we wouldn't be talking about any of this if there was a perfect world. But in a perfect scenario, we hope to never have to use this technology. But in total transparency and the relationships that Mr. Amarpi and I have had with our communities, the residents, the visitors, this was not something we would ever do behind anybody's back. In transparency, we're checking a pilot program. There's an opportunity to have access to software that other people do not have. There's also an opportunity that will prove that the information gathered is not reliable, it's not credible, and it's not useful. If that's the case, we'll abandon this. If we find that it is reliable, credible, and useful, that's the time that it's time to identify what policies will be in place and how it's used. There's currently no policies anywhere as far as this goes that we can locate. But this will all be done in the best interest of our community. I don't want to know anybody's secrets. I don't want to know who's sick and who's not. This is not intended to pluck a single individual out of a crowd because they show to be hotter and they're febrile. There is none of that. This is to work as a community that we're moving forward. What we're doing is working. And if it's not working, a possibility of early detection to not let us far, far, far behind, but in a position that we can recover from. If we can save one or two lives, or if we can save one or two residents, or early detection, I think we sort of owe that to the community. Like I said, the easy thing is to not do anything.
So we're chatting with Fody Kaskinas, and we're talking about the introduction of a pilot software in a drone that will collect data and somehow help manage social distancing. Tell us a little bit about what this software is intended to do.
Which part, the social distancing we're starting off with? I'm sorry.
Well, the software itself. In other words, what is the drone software doing?
The social distancing, if you can picture a group of people, and it can be a couple hundred people or it can be 30 people, what it does is it paints a circumference of whatever the number that currently it's at 6 feet. So it paints a circumference around every individual that the drone is observing from up above. And as long as they're 6 feet apart, it's green. If continuously or on a more consistent basis, it shows that they're closer than 6 feet, that area turns red that the drone operator sees. At that point, we can make an audio announcement over the drone advising people to practice safer social distancing without sending a police officer over. And this is not going to be a 24/7 operation, but at some point during the day, hovering over the beach or hovering over other areas, there may be a couple of warnings that are made. Part of it also is the psychological. When you go into stores or when you go into the malls, and people see this area under video surveillance, people's intentions and attitudes and behaviors change. We're hoping by the public knowing that it's not always going to be a police officer in a black and white car that comes to tell you not to do something, that hopefully that behavior will also change. We're asking for compliance for people's safety, not for compliance for enforcement, not to harm anybody, but for people's safety.
It's going to be a problem, Fody. It's going to be very freaky for people to hear a drone overhead. Please stand further apart. I foresee a lot of people, you know, it's very interesting to have this conversation. I'm hearing everything you're saying, and I truly believe that this is coming only from the best of intention for you and Mr. Marpy, believe me. But I can also foresee the psychological impact on a free society of having a police drone. Notwithstanding the fact that you as an individual police officer have a wonderful relationship with the community, not everybody views the police so benignly. And it psychologically, the impact of having a drone overhead say, please stand further apart. I mean, people will either adjust or not. Whoever thought you'd have to take off your shoes to get on a plane? I mean, there are a lot of things, Fody, in our society that beforehand we thought we would never do, and then afterwards we get used to. I don't know about this. We'll have to see.
Lisa, I agree with you, and that's why it's labeled a pilot program. We did not look at this as an immediate success. We looked at it as just a possibility of another tool to use in desperate times, which we may get back to those. I mean, we did very good flattening the curve because I think we do have a public that listens. There's certainly been some things that, you know, not necessarily that we wouldn't share with the public, but there's been some people's actions in towns that would make you question, like, what were you thinking with what you did?
Yes. So, I know some of those actions. Yes, I do.
And part of it is, you know, the other part, and your analogy is very good, but the difference is that until you take your shoes off, you can't get on the plane. This is very different. So if it means that you're not following the rules, the plane example, as far as shoes, is enforceable because guess what? You can't pass through security to get on the plane. But the harm of not checking those shoes may be the harm of the person who's next to you, not social distancing. So who carries that burden? I mean, at that point, should we as public protection say, you know what, if people get sick, they get sick? Because I can tell you there's going to be a big number of other proponents saying, you should have done the best to protect me from that person being 6 feet away from me.
No, that's true. It's definitely going to be a lot of he said, she said, what do they say, 2020 quarterbacking, whatever it is. But Fody, we're chatting with Fody Kaskinas. I have another question for you because I was reading the article and it talked about this dragonfly measuring the heat and temperature of people. Can you explain what that's about? What's that aspect of the software?
That is in the very early stages, and they're looking at that as pandemic prevention, pandemic early detection. That is truly, truly at its earliest stages. It's not being used for anything other to see if the information would be reliable, if it would be credible, or even useful. And that would be information that would be useful to other entities, not the police, whether it be a health department, the way governors decide where assets go, or mayors decide where assets go, the way hospitals are expecting. You know, we may need more supplies down in Fairfield County than we need in Tolland or New Haven counties because of what's going on. But again, we saw that as an opportunity to just check this equipment out. This is not something that's gone into policy, and we really can't set policy until we realize, is it even useful? So there is potential that over large groups of people, the software through algorithms will be able to determine, and these are possibilities, of heart rate, temperature, and cough patterns. So if you have large amounts of people doing that, this is not to single out. They would never single out that guy that looks a little warmer than the people next to him is Fody Koskinas, or that woman next to him is Lisa Wexler. This is to give information as a whole and the possibility for public safety's sake to either slow things down or prevent a pandemic if it looks like it's happening in our community. We have not committed to any of that, but to not say that that data is available or the technology is not available, that's where Mr. Marpy and I felt that at that point it would seem like we're hiding something or we're not being totally transparent, or what if. And that is our goal has been, I can tell you, when we sat down, is I'd rather people are upset with what I did because I was upfront, but boy, I am not getting caught doing something behind our public's back. I will be upfront with them. I will make adjustments. I always have made the adjustments. All I have really in this job is credibility and the trust of our community that we're trying to do the best thing. And I'm very sensitive to that.
So is this something that you're going to be bringing, for example, to the RTM, the representative town meeting in Westport, to say, this is our plan, will you ratify it?
This was not something that was part of the plan, but in talking with Mr. Murphy, that's a decision he has to make of what our next steps are.
Okay.
But
and as far as
okay. The drones are not out today flying around. They weren't going to be out whether there was controversy or not. This is as we're looking back into the reentry and assist us in social distancing. The problem with it is when we're talking to media, everybody is looking what the greatest headline is going to get the attention. And a lot of people are just reading the headline. Please spend a little bit of time. I have the same concerns that our community does. I don't have a total comfort zone other than I don't want to miss an opportunity. If there's a tool to keep our community safe, I don't want to miss out on it. So I know it's a verbal commitment. I know it's on the radio. My goal is to under-promise and over-deliver to our public, but I can't say it enough. The easy thing for me to do is sit back, do nothing, and scramble when things get really bad, which we've seen our entire country and other countries around us have to do last minute.
Listen, Rich Redfield today from the CDC announced last night that he expects this thing to come back with a vengeance in the winter. Now, the winter is usually not a time where we're worried about people clamoring in Compo Beach or getting together in parks. And that's when he frankly foresees it to be very bad. In talking about the drone for just a minute, there's a lot of evidence, Fody. We're talking with Westport Police Chief Fody Koskinas. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that in this pandemic and in others, getting outside is one of the best things you can do because outdoor air is healthier than indoor air, just sort of in general as a blanket statement. And I'm wondering if there's going to be a way for you as our police chief to consider opening Compo Beach at some point with the kind of enforcement of social distancing or opening other kinds of parks and outlets so that we can be encouraged to have fresh air but behave responsibly. Do you see that happening at any time soon, Fody?
I do, Lisa. And working closely with our Parks and Rec director, Jen Fava, on that, because there's so many moving parts. Every single Sunday for the last three Sundays, and I'm not looking for credit or anything like that because none is needed, Mr. Marpy and I have walked Compo Beach and Longshore and try to talk to the public. We've seen some incredible things in the sense like it the joy that it has brought to see families actually spending family time together and working out together. We saw families playing flag football on the greens at Longshore that I don't think those were things that we would have seen in the past. So I couldn't agree with you more. And even with my own family, I have two teenage daughters, and anybody who's got teenage daughters, we know how much time we spend with them at any different times. The walks we've taken, the things we get to do around the house and things like that. So I couldn't agree with you more on opening things up and getting the exposure. And yes, you're absolutely right on the health benefits of the fresh air and the sun, especially the sun, that when this is exposed to the sun, there's good effects to the person. We are working on the beach. We're working on the marinas. The concern is, and what I said earlier, the areas that have opened up have had such an influx of people that it was very hard to regulate, and it almost worked backwards. We're hoping to come up with a model of success, but part of that is also area towns around us opening up at the same time or even closer to New York City. We see how desirable our beaches and parks are to people outside of our community, and we welcome that as long as it doesn't take too much away from our local residents. Right. I am fearful of if we're one of the first ones to open up, what will that bring? And we'll know that it'll have to be limited parking inside the beaches. It'll have to be limited parking at places like Longshore. You know, if we choose to open up our tennis courts and if we choose to open up our golf course, we know we may see that carts are only for one person. Or if you're playing tennis, it's only singles, not doubles. There's a lot of things that we're trying to do sooner than later. And quite frankly, that was one of the reasons that we said, you know what, if we can have that little bit more to leverage that people will be warned, maybe we can do this quicker. Maybe we have a few more tools that if people are aware that somebody is watching from above and gives them warnings, maybe we can have greater success as we go into whatever our new normal is going to be. I hate it. I have two beautiful teenage daughters. If you ask me, do you want a drone hovering over them? I don't care who's operating while they're at the beach in a bikini. I would tell you absolutely not. I'm not comfortable with it. I don't want a civilian doing it. I don't want a police officer doing it. But if you tell me, okay, the alternative is that people are going to get too close to them and this might be a way to prevent their safety, would you at least reconsider and change your mind? I would still tell you it's a maybe. But at least it's consider it and look at a way that it might be another alternative to get us back to our new normal a little quicker.
Well, it's very interesting because you talk about the headline. The headline in the article that I read had said that this was already in place 5 days. It showed a picture of Trader Joe's, and the implication was clear that the drone was already flying around Trader Joe's. Yeah, what you're telling me is that that is not the case.
No. Lisa, that went up for less than 5 minutes because we wanted to, instead of hiding behind it of what it was going to be, we wanted to have our public, and maybe it wasn't the best marketing move on this, but we wanted to give our public an idea of what would be happening if it reached that level. It was not, there's nothing happening right now. There hasn't been flights other than internal, like while our police officers are going out on duty, recording their algorithms and putting that through the software system. I can tell you there hasn't been anything that's captured any of our Westport public after, other than the short thing that you saw over Trader Joe's that was purposely done so people would see what it was. There has not been any of this going on behind anybody's back. Mr. Marpy couldn't have been any more clear that our public will be aware of what's going on before anything happens.
All right, Fody Kaskinas, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, telling our WICC audience about all of this. We appreciate your attitude and your dilemma, and it is a dilemma for first responders and people in your situation. But, you know, we're still America. We like to think of ourselves as free. I get it totally. We're all completely enveloped by Google and Facebook and our iPhone, which is really a tracker. But there's something viscerally different about having something overhead. We'll have to see what happens. We'll have to see how the public thinks about it.
Lisa, I couldn't agree with you more. First of all, thank you for having me and even giving me the forum to explain some of this away. I also was not blind that there would be a lot of criticism about this, and rightfully so. I keep saying I have the pleasure of working with and for some of the smartest and most progressive people in the world. It's a highly intelligent group, a highly opinionated group in the right and good way. And I'm open to suggestions. If somebody sees a better way, if somebody has technology that is not what is considered as intrusive, if somebody has a better way or anything that can lead my way that me or Mr. Marpy or some of our other staff may be missing, I truly welcome it. I try to return just about every email. I try to be sensitive to what our public has to say. And quite honestly, I would be a liar to you if I didn't tell you I had my concerns. I told you how I felt if my daughters or my wife or anybody else was out there. It's just one other tool that if we need it, who knows what we're going to be seeing in the near future. But again, thank you for having me. And if anything comes up, I'm open for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Westport Police Chief Fody Kaskinas on the Lisa Wexler Show. And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Well, it is the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. So I thought to myself, what could be more apropos than talking about digging in the earth itself that gives us everything, that gives us sustenance and nurture and the reason that we're able to be human beings on this planet. Well, joining us now is a listener who is an authority and expert on gardening, Vicki McCarthy, who came into my life just like a gift from heaven, just descended upon my lawn and said, oh, I know exactly what we're going to do. And in a week later, I am literally broadcasting to you, looking out at a beautiful picket fence enclosed in which there is already a matted down kind of like something where we're going to be planting, surrounded by this adorable, charming gravel pathway with green and flourishing rhododendrons that were moved a little bit forward to screen the fence itself. And I couldn't be happier with the aesthetic component of the garden. And now I can't wait to plant and weed and eat. Vicki McCarthy, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day. So first, most importantly, it's about 35 degrees outside. Are we going to be able to plant today? Should we be planting today? Really? Okay.
The most wonderful thing is that there are cold weather plants that are frost tolerant. And some of those plants happen to be really nutrient dense. So it's great. We can plant our Swiss chard and our spinach. But I do want to say, Lisa, you really are leading by example with your victory garden. And especially on the anniversary of Earth Day, it's great that you're bringing everyone's attention to this, because I think it's such a positive thing. And the fact that you have your garden means less trips to the grocery store. You can plant your own food. And
can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. And you'll be in a joyful spirit when you do it. It will help your immune system, keep you healthier. And it's something that families can do and individuals can do. And it doesn't have to be complicated. A garden is simply soil, and you're planting flowers or vegetables or fruit in it. And it can be as small as a dish garden or as large as a public garden. So I would encourage people not to inhibit their creativity and just start somewhere.
Is this the season to be starting, Vicki?
Yes. This is the season. And the best way to start is by making a plan. So we really honor our connection to the earth just by making a plan, thinking about what we're going to plant, where we're going to plant, and how we'd like to go about it. And now is the time to start raking our leaves, digging our garden, perhaps putting in an enclosure, and start planting some of those seeds and plants that can tolerate cold weather. Now, in Fairfield County, if you want to plant vegetables like tomatoes and squash and cucumbers, I would wait until May 15th. There are also root vegetables that can be planted, like carrots and radishes and beets, that can be planted now. But we have this whole window of opportunity from now to Memorial Day is a great time to get started with planting the garden. And I know you asked me to give you a few tips, so I have some tips to share with you if we have the time to go into that.
Yes.
Okay, so we talked about making a plan, thinking about what you want to grow. Most importantly, think about where you want to place your garden. And as you used, there are apps that are available for determining where the most sun is for most of the day. And really, there's no such thing as a shade vegetable. If you want to plant tomatoes and cucumbers and squash, you need a minimum of 6 hours of sun. So if you have an environment in your landscape where you're only getting part sun, three hours of sun would be a minimum, think about roots and shoots. Roots being carrots, radishes, beets, and shoots being salad greens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't need as much sun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, there are wonderful resources in Connecticut where you can get free help. The UConn Master Gardening Program, you can email the coordinators and they'll set you up with someone who will help you. It's a wonderful public service, yes. And in terms of preparing the soil, getting a soil test is a good best management practice.
And how do you do that?
The best thing to do is get a little information online about how to take a soil test. And then take your soil. You can mail it to New Haven Agricultural Station or UConn Soil Testing. And they will tell you exactly what you need to do to amend your soil. And amending the soil is just adding the proper nutrients that you need to create a good soil for your vegetables that you're growing. And if
so what's the typical? Is the typical topsoil not good enough to grow vegetables?
That's right. That's right. You want to make sure that you're adding humus and compost. And the best and easiest, fastest way I can use to describe it with the time we have allowed is to think of chocolate cake. Your garden should look, the soil in the garden should look like chocolate cake.
Really?
It should be very, yeah.
Dense and brown and yummy and fudgy looking. That's what it should look like?
Exactly. With soil pores that water can move through and nutrients. And it also should smell good. It should almost smell like chocolate cake, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, and if your soil is smelling not good, you probably don't have enough oxygen in that soil. So there are things you can add to create oxygen in that soil. So soil test is important, but if you can't go through that whole procedure, don't be afraid. Start gardening. Start digging in the soil. And there are a ton of resources online that you can look up to do that. And certainly, you know, I could help anybody
So here's my question, Vicki McCarthy, because I have an open garden. People have said to me, well, aren't you putting something on the top? And I'm like, no. So here's my question. How do I prevent, let's say, whatever it is? Because we're going to prevent the critters from digging underneath. You've done a great job with chicken wire. We've gone all the way down. They better not dig. But there are birds. There are insects. You know, there are other creatures out there who would like to get to my plants before I can. So what are some of the best organic ways, non-poisonous ways, to dissuade, you know, the birds and the bees, not the bees, but you know what I mean, the birds and the insects from eating away at the plants?
That's a great question. I really like to use companion plants with my vegetables to organically treat my vegetables. And there are a lot of cultural things that you can do without using sprays and toxic ingredients. As far as physical barriers, I think in your situation, the little fence we have around there with the chicken wire to prevent the small critters, the way that it is positioned in your yard will dissuade deer from jumping in because they don't have enough room to jump out.
Yeah, they're not coming in.
Yeah, they're clever creatures that, you know, they may make an exception, but we can deal with that as we go.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the deer. They don't come to my front window. They go everywhere else. The deer I'm not worried about. But what about, you know, generally speaking, insects? I know we're planting marigolds, for example. Is that why?
That's exactly right. That is why. And not only do the colors of companion plants like marigolds attract beneficial insects, but they repel insects that you don't want. And part of treating the insects is learning how to identify them, which you're going to do, Lisa. You're going to be an insect expert by the time you're finished with your garden.
Okay.
You have to learn what the insects look like. So because 95% of insects are beneficial, it's only the 5% that are not. Yeah. They look different in all the different forms. So, for instance, a lady beetle, ladybug, you know, you might be able to identify when it's mature. But when it's a small insect, it looks like a tiny little alligator. So you don't want to get upset when you see that and inadvertently get rid of it because it is eventually going to be beneficial for you.
So ladybugs are good in gardens? Ladybugs are good?
Okay. Ladybugs are good. Now, there are similar insects that are lookalikes to ladybugs, and they are not beneficial. So learning how to identify that insect is critical. and fun.
So I'll
by
be
the way.
Taking pictures, Vicki, and I will be sending them to you on my phone, and you will say to me good or bad, right? I'll say good or bad, and
exactly.
You'll tell me.
Exactly. And we'll have a lot of fun with that. So I'm sure that when you started out on this process, you didn't think you'd be identifying insect eggs, but
no.
That's exactly what we're going to do for the organic garden.
Okay, I'm thinking about things. So I know I already have a snake living in my front garden someplace. The snake will probably make an appearance, but hopefully not. It'll freak me out. I'm just telling you right now. It'll completely
freak
me out.
They're wonderful for insect control.
Okay, well, that's good. As long as they stay out of my picket fence. And but the other thing is that there are a lot of worms, and worms are really good. That I know, right? Worms create oxygen in soil, right? So worms
that's
are good?
That's exactly right. Going back to that chocolate cake, it's really important that your soil has a structure. And all water and minerals are moving through the soil, which is something really important to keep in mind. Because inevitably, no matter where you live in Connecticut, water and whatever else you're putting on the soil and the plants are moving through the ground. It's the soil is very alive, and everything eventually dumps into the Long Island Sound. So it is very important to learn and educate yourself about organic gardening and making those decisions that are going to contribute to community health.
All right, Vicki, I'm going to have to wrap this up. I want people to know how to reach you. You've been so kind to me. And just for the record, you've given me an affordable, reasonable price. I told you this was my budget. Can you do this for my budget? And you said, yes, you can. And you've honored that. And you've brought in very competent help. And I you have so improved what I initially thought I was going to have. Your aesthetic eye is just astonishingly beautiful. So how can people reach you and find you if they want to?
Well, thank you for your kind words, and actually probably easiest to text me. And my cell is 860-214-2452, Vicki McCarthy. And thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks, Vicki. 860-214-2452. And I'm going to see you at 6 o'clock today. We're going to begin the planting. We'll be right back.